This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besant. Cody is with Plains Cotton Growers in Lubbock. He'll join us in a moment. First off, Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State University, livestock marketing economist, on the increase in ground beef versus ribeyes.
Since 2023, the trimmings price has gone up about 40%, while the ribeye price at the wholesale level has gone up about 13%. So ground beef is still going to be a cheaper product in absolute terms, but relatively speaking, ground beef is not as much of a value as it often is. Those trimmings prices are running about 38% of the wholesale value of ribeyes right now, and that's exactly what you would expect given how much those ground beef market components have decreased in the last couple of years.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today we're joined by Cody Besant. Cody is CEO, Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Cody, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be back.
All right. Let's talk first about crop conditions across the southern high plains. What are you seeing?
So we're shaping up to have a fairly decent year. We've had really ideal growing conditions from adequate rainfall in a necessary period of time, not an overabundance, but certainly for most areas they've received a pretty decent amount, as well as temperatures have been pretty subdued this year in a matter of speaking, where we're not seeing these multiple consecutive days or weeks of over 100 degrees. It may get up into the high 90s and then certainly cool off in the nighttime. It's sort of feels like the conditions, at least growing conditions, we saw in 2021. We are going to see more higher conditions this week, but certainly it's necessary as the crop continues to develop and mature to its final stages before it gets to cutout. We need a couple more decent showers through the area, but overall the crop ultimately is looking very pretty. We still have an adequate amount of dryland acres that are still in production as compared to previous years. We've seen a pretty substantial amount of abandonment. That being said, one of the challenges we're still seeing, and as well as other areas of the U.S., is just acreage is down. Other alternative crops were planted just because of the cost of the inputs, as compared to the cost or price they may receive. And so others are trying to kind of look at rotational matters in order to at least sustain themselves and maybe try to be profitable or try to break even in the dire conditions we've seen in the marketplace.
We've talked about this in the past as well, but it's one for the growers to grow the crop. But if you don't grow a crop, it really affects the infrastructure. So whether we're talking about the gins, the warehouses, there's so much more in that infrastructure if you don't have a crop. Are they at least excited about the potential of having a crop? And if not, is there help available for them?
Yeah, so I think most people are fairly excited. Certainly they wish that we would have a little bit more volume, but estimates are up as compared to where they were at the beginning of the season. And so that's optimistic that we'll have some additional volume than was previously recorded or previously thought that they would have. And so that's helpful from a build-out standpoint on infrastructure, all the way from the gins to the remainder of the supply chain. There are some risk management tools available to infrastructure today. There's some privatized products. Unfortunately, those products are extremely expensive and sometimes unattainable. There is some undergoing work that it was done in our state legislature this year by us and several other organizations working collectively as a team to implement a interest rate reduction program for producers as well as agricultural businesses such as a gin or a warehouse, et cetera, as well as a nominal grant program that would provide some enabled support for also producers and agricultural businesses alike. That's still in the build-out phase. The group that will do that as far as the governing body has met a couple of times, and the goal is to try to have it fully on board by the end of the calendar year, provided that everything can be put together and go through the rulemaking process. So that's some regional-based assistance. And then there are some other risk management tools that are being looked at from the producer-based segment that'll help provide some additionalities to take a crop to harvest that economically normally would be terminated. That's still in a very infant working stage, but hopefully it'll come to fruition.
Our special guest today is Cody Besant with Plains Cotton Growers. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besant. Cody is CEO of Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers. All right, Cody, let's talk one big, beautiful bill. I know there's quite a bit in there that will affect agriculture, but I'm also kind of wondering, is this good for the ag industry?
Absolutely. The one big, beautiful bill is exactly as it sounds. It is a charismatically pieced together monumental legislation that has been worked on for a multitude of years, especially on the farm policy standpoint. It essentially would create a relative six-year farm bill now that's fully up and running, or will be, but it provides some sustainability long-term versus where we were at prior to this, where the political dynamics just weren't obviously there at the previous administration and previous Congress to be able to get a long-term farm bill enacted. As far as the policy initiatives that were included, pretty much everything that industry had been advocating for was included in that. So by example, Title I, or the commodity-based title, reference prices were increased to address more of the cost of doing business today compared to what we've been since 2018. That'll be effective for the 25 crop year, so the current crop year that we're in. And fortunately, Congress and some of the policy writers had enough leverage and sense to make it active for the 25 crop year and make it where producers would, instead of having to go back and make changes in the decisions they'd already made back in March, they simply just give them the best policy for this year and then be able to build out the remaining portions of Title I going into the 26 crop year. So that's one positive. Increasing payment limits certainly is another, as businesses continue to grow, as, again, cost of doing business just becomes more increasing. That limit was certainly undermining where it needed to be in a true safety net. Additionally, another positive is, I know there's many different farm structures from a joint venture or general partnership. Those have been treated differently from a taxable standpoint or a payment limit standpoint. And now what they've done is increase the overall level playing field for a pass-through entity. So an LLC or an S-corp will be treated exactly the same now as what a general partnership or a joint venture has been treated for a number of years now. So that's some positivity as well. You've got other programs, the conservation title. There was a large amount of enhancement for conservation programs we use, such as EQIP or CSP and CRP acres. You get into the trade title. There was a doubling of MAP and FMD funds, which for the agriculture industry, cotton specifically, is very important, as we use matching dollars from producers across the U.S. to be able to encompass and get really aggressive in courting export markets overseas, which we need very systemically in order to have a good, robust export market for our cotton that we export 90% of predominantly. Coupled with that, you get into the interim title, which is another one that's very favorable for for the agriculture industry. There's a lot of positives that have come out of that, such as increasing the level of parity with the supplemental coverage option to the stacks program that cotton uses. And so growers will have an option now of participating in either one of those, whichever is best fit for their operation. And those are just a couple of the many key provisions that this farm bill enhances and really builds out a more robust and viable safety net that works on behalf of production agriculture and the overall industry as a whole.
Our special guest today is Cody Bessett with Plains Cotton Growers. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Special guest today, Cody Bessett with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. All right, Cody, we mentioned legislative earlier, but I'm just wondering, as Congress gets back, what do they have to get done in September? Is this like pedal to the metal?
Ultimately, the main thing that has to be done is either Congress passes a full level of appropriations packages that'll get them in through the new fiscal year that will begin in October, or they will have to do somewhat of a short-term or long-term CR, whichever they could muster up to do. In many instances, they've opted to use a short-term CR to maybe build it out for another month or two for negotiations. Absent doing that, then ultimately we would see a governmental shutdown. We haven't seen one of those in quite some time, and I hope that it doesn't get to that point. But in the event, if that does happen, it will cause some consternation, some challenges. So by example, FSA employees that are currently implementing the disaster program and the economic assistance program and signing up people for PLC and ARC and other programs or providing those program payments, they would be furloughed. And so they would have to close those offices until the government could essentially reopen. So that's one detrimental thing, especially in a time where these programs need to be continue to be implemented. And also from an employee standpoint for the FSA employees, you know, they have bills to pay, they have families to take care of. And so government will have to be really aggressive in coming back with not a lot of runway and time frame to do all of this. I know a month sounds like a lot of time, but in congressional hours, it's not really a lot of time to get a lot of heavy lifting done. Encompassing that, you've got the administration that still is seeking to have all their appointees completed, and they've been very aggressive in that in the Senate. Unfortunately, they were unable to complete that task by the time they went into recess, and so that'll be another thing I'm sure that the president and other members are pushing forward during this time frame as well. So a lot to do. There's still a lot of cleanup work to do for some other incentives that were not included in the One Big Beautiful Bill. So, by example, the Buy American Cotton Act that was introduced by Cindy Hyde-Smith, that would be another advocacy initiative that cotton will be very aggressive in pushing for moving forward to the end of this congressional year.
And a general reminder that the House could pass it, but it's still up to the Senate. They'll have to pass it as well before it could even go to the president. So you might have one chamber getting some work done and the other kind of getting bogged down. So still, short runway, a lot of planes to get off the deck here. Okay, Cody, if we want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers, can we find you online?
Absolutely. You can find us at plainscotton.org. We're also on a multitude of social media platforms, from Instagram to Facebook to Twitter. or X, I guess, formerly known as Twitter, but certainly they can always find us online.
Okay. Cody Besson is CEO of Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Asian longhorn beetle is more than an invasive pest. It can cause a safety hazard. Their boring into and killing trees can lead to dropping branches and greater risk of tree fall in severe storms. So Catherine Bronski of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says it is important for home and property owners to check their trees for ALB activity.
By looking at your trees and reporting any signs of suspicious tree damage, if you see perfectly round holes about the size of a pencil in your tree, that could be a sign of an exit hole where an adult beetle emerged from the tree. There's also egg niches and other sites where the female lays the egg on the outside of the tree on the bark.
APHIS also declares August Tree Check Month for ALB, as adult beetles usually emerge from trees and other nearby items this time of year. More details about Asian longhorn beetle are found online at www.aphis.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain, reporting in Washington, D.C.